This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. What have you been doing leading up to your departure to Argentina, Barry?
Well, I haven't been playing bridge, that's for sure. Well, some of the people playing in Argentina have already gone.
So they're having a little holiday, or they're just taking the slow boat to China?
No, I think they're having a bit of a holiday. Some of them dribbling out of the country on Thursday or Friday. There's a few of us going on Saturday.
When do you actually have to be there?
We have to be there for the opening ceremony, which is on the 21st. That must be Monday.
Okay. I take it you've got your New Zealand uniform all washed and pressed, so it's really nice, and you're going to fit it nicely folded in your bag?
I'll just chuck it in there.
Treat it like a dummy hand. Boom, all messy.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, anyway, I've got a couple of subjects here.
One of the subjects we want to talk about is the Hamilton Congress, which is looming up, and I'm not going to be here for it, but entries are flooding in.
The teams have got 22 entered.
24, we just talked about it. You've got to, you know, get your 22s and your 24s sorted if you're going to play.
But the pairs events have got low numbers, Barry.
Where have all the pairs players gone?
I don't know.
Once upon a time, everybody wanted to play pairs. Now, everybody wants to play teams or Swiss pairs.
So, yes, we have to drum up some more support. So, if you're keen to come to Hamilton over Labour weekend, come on down. We've got restricted opens. Those numbers are struggling. We've only got 5 pairs entered in that. So, lots of people from Hamilton will be getting shoulder tapped to make sure that that event gets up to a respectable number.
17 pairs in the open pairs, not very flash either. And then you go to 24 teams in the teams. So that's 48 pairs, isn't it? They obviously don't want to play the pairs.
Maybe people think, you know, no longer are the days where you actually take all 3 days to go out and play bridge. I only want to play a couple of days or even one day. Not like the bridge hardies. They're keen to go and play, and they're coming from down south as well. So they're coming from all over the place. Get your entries in. We'd like to see the numbers improved on the Saturday, yep. People.
I mean, some people are keener than others, and I know for a fact, and I better be careful because I don't want to name any names here, that somebody is thinking about getting off the plane on the way home from Argentina at something like 5 o'clock in the morning, going and having a bit of breakfast, and then going and playing a bridge tournament at 10 o'clock.
Really? In Auckland? Wow.
I never said where it was. I didn't say who it was. I'm just putting it out there that it might happen. It's insane.
Nuts. Oh, you get plenty of kip on the plane. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd be in the state of mind where you'd want to, you know, get off the plane at 5 in the morning and have breakfast and head off to a bridge tournament at 10, would you? Even you wouldn't be a starter for that, I don't reckon.
No, I probably wouldn't be. They're obviously keen. Anyway, tell me your thoughts on past-hand bidding. It does make it difficult, I guess. What's your theory? If you were a past-hand and your partner was wanting you to do some action, don't really care about what system arrangement is, but what could you do here?
One of the main differences from non-past-hand bidding is that whatever you bid, partner is not really, they don't have to actually take another bid. So you've got something like a 10 or an 11 count and you're not quite good enough to open, and partner's opened a major and you've got 3 of them. Normally you'd perhaps bid something else and then maybe jump to 3 of the major, so an invitational hand with just 3 of the major. Well, when you bid that something else, just be aware, partner might not bid anymore. They think, oh, partner hasn't got support for my major. I've only got a minimum sort of hand, and partner's passed. They might leave you in 2 diamonds or whatever the heck you bid. So that's why some people play something like what they call Drury, where 2 clubs says, I've got 10 or 11 points and 3 card support for your major. If it goes pass, pass, 1 heart, pass, 2 clubs, it's not clubs. It just says, I've got 3 card support for the major and about 10 points.
Oh, so, okay.
I'm not saying that you should play that, but just be aware that if you bid something else, partner might not necessarily But again, you might never get back to that major. So if you haven't, even if you're not playing Drury, that maybe you need to show a limit raise immediately, even though you've only got three trumps, which you at least you know you've
Yeah,
got a fit.
that'll give people something to think about. It's difficult because sometimes when the opponent's open, and I'm talking about just overcalling, sometimes you don't have the right shape to overcall and you're passing on 13 points or maybe even 14 points.
Absolutely. Yep, that can happen.
It's terrible
I
in
had a
that
hand the other day
situation.
where I actually had an opening hand and they opened a heart and I had four spades, two heart, two diamonds, and five clubs. Now I can't really double because partner's likely to bid two diamonds, which I don't am. I've got five clubs and they weren't very good. I can remember they were queen, 10, small, small, small. Not really that keen on overcalling those, and we might lose the spade suit. So it's difficult. And in the end, ended up passing, and it went past to my partner who found a bid. So you can,
All right, you're able to jump in
my
then.
partner was there to protect me, if you like. But yeah, you can actually sometimes have a good hand. And just bear in mind that sometimes your partner can actually have quite a good hand too when they've passed. Maybe they've got like 8 points and they've got six of one major and five of the other or something, and not quite enough to open. Don't want to open a weak two because they've got five of the other one.
Other one,
So when you open and partner bids, just they can still have quite a good hand.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Only a couple of days for you to get to Argentina, so we're going to snap a couple of questions just to ease the pressure of Judge Julie segment. This week, we've got doozies for you.
Excellent, and what I always wanted.
She'll be thinking of them all the way on the flight from Auckland to San Diego.
No, what else rhymes with doozies?
Floozies.
So the first one, somebody thinks for a long time, and then the opponents, may be concerned that their partner's got information from this long hesitation. Sometimes people say a thing called, I want to reserve my rights. What does that mean? And should they be calling the director? What is that all about?
Okay, so we're all allowed to think. Just to get that out in the open, bridge is a thinking game. Sometimes we have difficult hands and we need to take time to make choices in the auction, so we might take a long time to think. How long we take possibly isn't a concern, it's a break in tempo. So we've taken some time to think, and our opponents want to acknowledge that we've taken some time to think. Now, if we all agree that we've taken some time to think, then that's fine. That's all we need to do. I say, Julie, I think you took a while there. Julie says, yes. We say, fine. We keep going. We don't have to say about reserving rights. That's effectively what we're doing. And we'll play the hand and we'll call the director at the end because we've all agreed at a specific point that this is what happened and that's what we're concerned about. No problem whatsoever. Apart from that, if we say, I think your partner took a while to make a bid, and we say, no, absolutely not. And the partner who took a while says, no, I did not. At that point, we call the director to come to the table. We need to have an agreement that there was a break in tempo, or we need the director to be at the table. So if you've taken a while to think and your opponents say, do you agree? And you say, no, because when we're thinking, we don't always realize how long it takes. Then the opponents are not accusing anyone of cheating or doing anything untoward. But if you take time to think, then your partner has the information from that that you have something to think about. And that little bit of information, something that they're allowed to have. Okay. Now, we can't avoid having that bit of information. So it is all fine. We just simply say, is there an agreement that someone took a while to think? If there isn't, we call the director to the table at that point. If we all agree that this is indeed what has happened, then we continue bidding. And when we get to the end of the hand, if there is a problem, we call the director back. In both situations, if there is a problem, we will call the director back and they will go away and have a look at the hand. They may poll people about what may or may not have happened and they will come back with a decision.
Just to make it a bit trickier and drag this question out a bit longer, does it matter if Julie takes a long time to think and then Sometimes she passes and sometimes she bids. Is there a difference? Is it one worse than the other?
Well, in some way, it's not about being better or worse. If you take a long time to think and then you pass, your partner knows you were thinking of doing something different.
Right. Yeah.
If you take a long time to think and you bid, your partner doesn't know if you were thinking about the bid you made, making a different bid, or passing. When you take a long time to think and then you bid, it isn't always a get out of jail free, things go a bit AWOL. But certainly, if you take a long time to think and then you bid, the amount of information your partner has is just not quite so clear cut about what it may or may not be. Now, everyone says, oh, I'm being picked on, blah, 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 when you make a ruling. The ruling is really clear. Taking time to think is not an infraction. When you stop to think, you are not breaking any rules whatsoever. But your partner has information they shouldn't have. So if your partner makes a bid that isn't what we call clear cut, that is where over 80% of people would seriously consider doing whatever it was, and there's a lot of stuff around this, but if your partner does something, if it's not clear cut, the director will go away, they'll come back, they'll say, we don't consider that the bid was clear cut. The result was such that the opponents may have been disadvantaged. So this is what I'm going to rule. They may come back and say, it's really clear. Everybody would have made this bid. That's your partner. And there's no issue whatsoever. Or in some cases, there are two choices about what your partner did, and they would have no idea what you were thinking about. So how long you took couldn't influence what they chose to do next. So there's quite a few things that happen, and there's a step-by-step process we go through as a director to try and make a really clear independent, and normally we poll, find out how clear-cut something is.
I have another contribution. I just want to say that a lot of people think it's a good idea if Julie takes time to think, including the teammates.
I take time to think. Patrick says, you didn't take any time. I think I've taken forever. I think very quickly. Ooh. I'm the slowest player in the world because I have no idea about time lapse when I stop to think. But apparently I'm lucky. Apparently it's not very long. But everyone out there, I do stop to think.
Be a nice teammate, Barry.
what you're saying there is quite interesting because, I mean, I usually don't think as long enough, probably a bit quicker than I should. Shouldn't be telling my teammate this, should by Mariana, but however. So if I actually do take just a few seconds, which, you know, wouldn't be noticeable, but perhaps to my partner, it would be noticeable because, you know, just a 2 second break in tempo would be significant, wouldn't it?
So it's a break in tempo. It is not about how long you take. It is about a break in tempo. And you and I probably do both bid quite quickly. And yes, I agree, probably quicker than we should. But the thing about a hesitation isn't really a good word because it is simply a break in tempo. If you all agree there's been a break in tempo, you just continue. If there's a problem, you call back at the end of the hand. Frequently, people will know, like when we play, if we take a while to think, Patrick and I both say to people, sorry, I know I've taken a while. So they don't have to say anything.
Right, I see.
So we can call the director at the end of the hand because it's sort of like your glasses get rosier when your partner's thinking and you're looking at a hand. And everyone says, oh, you've done the wrong thing, you've taken advantage. We're human. Right? And we're sitting there and we think that we would make a bid, and just because we would make it doesn't mean it's clear cut. And unfortunately, that is the standard that the directors have to hold everything to.
So I have to tell you, Mariana, the fact that Julie and I think very quickly doesn't mean that we necessarily get it right.
We should occasionally take more time. There's a wonderful thing, a Terry Pratchett novel about having first thoughts and second thoughts. and maybe third thoughts. And I keep thinking I should have those third thoughts. It's never, ever as simple as it seems. There's always something I forget to think about. So I'm working on that.
Work quickly. You're going to need it next week.
I've learned something anyway. I've learned that our teammates are human. That's cool.
Okay, thank you very much. And I hope everybody has a good few weeks.
I was reading a magazine this afternoon, Barry.
It's dangerous.
And the article I was reading was called Challenge the Champs. But the name that popped up in this article was a lady that played at New Zealand Congress. She actually, her and Jesse Joel actually won the New Zealand Pairs plate. And her name is Daniela von Arnim.
Yeah, they went quite a long way in the teams too. I think they got all the way to the semi-final. Or did they get to the final? They got to the final.
They got to the final.
They lost
to
the final. So, yeah.
But the funny thing about it was, is that the article I was reading is dated February 2006. So she's been playing bridge for a long time, and she was partnering Sabine Orchard.
Maybe she was only 12 at the time.
I know, because I was reading it, and I was like, I know that name. And I was like, where do I know that name from? And I was like, oh, that's the lady that came to Congress. I would never have known that I was going to read a little article about her. By the way, is she a professional bridge player?
I don't know the answer to that, but that would be quite likely, I would imagine.
Okay. Now, the other subject that I was wanting to talk to you about was attacking dummies' strength. You always hear, actually, and sorry to all the elderly listeners out there, there's quite a few of them that say, lead through dummies' strengths, not their weakness. Rather, I want you to lead this. What do you reckon?
I think when they're talking about attacking dummies' strength, they're trying to stop the clearer from having access to that suit when they finish drawing trumps. So that's what they're sort of talking about. If you can play enough rounds of the suit, the clearer is going to run out of them and not be able to get back there. It's not a very common defense. It's probably more common to lead. It's not so much leading through dummy strength. It's trying to lead up to weakness is what you're trying to do. So an old lady told me once that if all you did was lead up to weakness all day long, you'd do all right. Don't even look at what you've got in your hand. If there's three small on your right, just lead that suit.
Well, there was something else I was reading. It was in this attacking dummy strength, and it was about there's nothing more pleasing than a lead towards dummy strength. There are three fairly common reasons for this tactic: establishing a trip, killing an entry, and escaping a more damaging lead. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but the trouble is, if it's a really strong suit and dummy, sometimes you've just got to bite the bullet and take a risk, because you can just see all those losers disappearing on that long suit and dummy if it's too strong.
Okay. There was something else I was going to tell you too. So I'm going to have a look back on the tournament entries. Myself and Ian Patterson are going to play in the Waitomo Restricted Pairs, and they've got 24 pairs entered so far, Barry.
Quite a good turnout for that, don't they?
Isn't that lovely? That's awesome.
So, I don't know, if you had a look last year, I think they probably had more than that.
Oh, really? Oh, well, the day is young.
It's on Thursday.
It is on Thursday. Yeah, they come from near and far for that. It's a popular tournament, that midweek one.
It's on the golf course. Well, it's not on the golf course. It's at the golf club.
In the clubhouse.
Yeah, they don't have it on the 11th green.
I used to play a lot of squash down there. And when I worked for AMP, we used to host quite a lot of AMP's tournaments down there for the golf tournament, you know, the agencies and the clients. And I used to zoom around the course on a golf cart. It was quite good. And they only played Amrose golf, though. So it was very sociable. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
You're not the only one who can read things. So I was actually looking at this on Bridge Winners. And it was a situation where they opened a diamond on your left and partnered a bit of heart and went past to you.
Diamond, heart.
You've only got a few points. You've only got one heart.
Oh, okay.
So, but you've got five of the suit that they opened, which is one diamond. And anyway, you really don't have anything to do. So you decide to pass, because one heart could be the best or the least bad contract.
Yeah.
So you pass, but then something happens, which often does in these situations. The hand on your left makes a takeout double.
Right.
And your partner passes, the person on your right passes as well. So what do you think's happening?
What's happening? They've got hearts. They've got your share of the hearts.
They've got a lot of hearts. I mean, it's not very often you choose to defend one level contract. When they decide to defend a contract at the one level, they're usually right. Anyway, this is Kit Worsley who wrote this article, and he had made a great comment. He said, a good principle is that when two players at the table think you are in trouble and you are one of them, run. That was quite a good comment. He actually held his hand. He decided to run to one no trump and really bid two diamonds because that was the opponent's suit. So that got doubled as well. To be fair, they had a little bit of help from the defense, but he actually made one no trump. But I mean, the general principle is it's more common to happen at the two level. So say it goes one spade on your left and partner overcalls two clubs.
Yeah.
And it goes pass on your right. You should be very, very afraid of this. If you haven't got a good hand, it's very, very likely that they are waiting and hoping that their partner will make a takeout double. And the auction is going to go one spade, two club overcall, pass, pass, double. And then it's going to go pass, pass.
Yep.
You've got to decide whether you're going to run or what you're going to do. So I think this principle of Kits, when two players at the table think you're in trouble and you are one of them, run. But sometimes you have nowhere to run. So you need to keep those overcalls up to scratch.
Yeah, and what is up to scratch is a great five-card suit with two honours, at least. At the two level, you probably want to have six, I would say.
You know, if you're going to overcall in a minor, Ashley Bart had a good saying here. He said that minors are for children. I thought that was quite a funny comment. In other words, if you're going to be overcalling a minor, make it a good one.
I agree.
I reckon if you're overcalling, you know, a six-card suit is certainly preferable. I know it's hard to have the perfect hand, but maybe, you know, if you've just got a five-card suit, maybe you can make a takeout double or you can do something else. Overcalling in a five-card suit is not without risk.
I see.
Remember, the hand on your right's already said they've got an opening hand. The hand of your left, if they've got a half-decent hand with some good clubs, you're in big trouble.
Now, I know that you're going on your Argentina trip. My trip to Tasmania comes soon. Going over to play again with the Cairns group. Going to play a week at Hobart with the Finesse Bridge Club. The 24th of November to the 1st of December is when that trip is.
What is the event called?
It's not an event on the calendar. It's a special Finesse Bridge Club event. Been looking at the temperature, though, Barry. It's around about 9 degrees. I was like, jeepers. I'd be more rather like to go to Argentina.
What have you just come from? What was the temperature?
The
it was
average,
like 30.
Yeah, it was 30. The hottest we got was a 41. And my tan's slowly fading, which is a shame because there's no sun here.
I've never been to Tasmania, but I think it'll be a great place to go to. But it's not known for its warm temperatures, I don't think. I'd love to go there, though, one day. It's on
the
bucket
list.
That's
where we're going to play?
You're playing at the Rest Point Casino.
That's right.
All breakfasts included, five dinners. Oh, one dinner's a sunset dinner cruise. It sounds awesome.
I know, four nights of pre-dinner drinks. That's always good. He does a little tutorial before each session.
Who's he?
Greg Eustace and Gay Allen. Yeah.
Okay, well, if you decide the temperature is just too much for you to bear, I'll go in your place. Sounds great.
Yeah, that's a good little trip that I've got.
What's that one down the bottom there? They've got the events there. They've got one there. Is that the Convict Pairs?
There we go. So it's called the Convict Pairs Session.
So it sounds like a lot of fun. Really does. So like I said, it's on the bucket list. In fact, I can tell you what, I've already got the bucket. I've made a start.
Is there a hole in your bucket? So listeners, we're going to be talking with Barry when he's over in Buenos Aires. He's going to give us some commentary about what's been happening, fingers crossed. I also listened to Peter Hollins. He's going as the captain of the Australian Open team.
Okay.
So he's wrapped with that, and he's going to continue giving up his updates like he did when he was in Morocco. Well, was he in Morocco, or was he actually just watching everything?
I think he was in Morocco. There'll be matches on BBO for people that want to watch, and some of the New Zealand teams are bound to be on there occasionally.
Yeah.
If I'm one of them, be kind.
I'm sure we will be.
Not a good feeling when you get a hand all wrong and you realise that there's a whole lot of people watching online.
Don't worry about that. Just be watching your hand.
Usually when you get a hand wrong at the club, there's not too many people watching.
There can be a few hundred watching, can't there?
Your partner in Tasmania, are you having a bit of practice online with them or anything to get you
No,
ready
I'm
to
playing
go?
with William.
Are you having some practice online?
Nope, we're just going in.
You might regret that.
He plays Ackle, so that should be all right.
That's not going to help you. I think a couple of sessions online would be a good idea. There's still time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess there is. I'll say Barry said we should have a practice session, William.
Two
And you're
practice
like,
sessions. Play one of the New Zealand club sessions. I reckon two sessions is what you need.
as a minimum. Ah.
Yep, two. Tell him he's got to play at least two.
Right. So there you go, folks. Having another crack at an old partnership because William and I haven't played since August last year together. Barry reckons two sessions should be right.
I reckon a few things will come up.
Yeah, I
You'll
guess they will.
he will thank me for it later.
Hey, did you get the email about the Gold Coast Congress?
I did see that. So,
Definitely the last time next year.
yeah, that's pretty sad news. The venue's not going to be available after this year. So, this is the last one. I don't know what's going to happen after that. It's hard to believe that the Gold Coast Congress is going to disappear forever, but it's pretty difficult for them to find a suitable venue, if not impossible.
How long have you been going there?
Oh, well, this doesn't sound good. It's last century, I'd say.
Hilarious.
I don't want people to think that I'm too old. It would have been certainly in the 90s.
Awesome. Guess they're going to have a great big party, or maybe not.
It's a big enough event to organise anyway that I don't know what else they can do to make it better.
I won't waste any money on fireworks.
Well, lots of Kiwis go over to that. They go there in their hundreds every year. So they're
Yeah.
going to miss their summer holiday at the Gold Coast.
Actually, Air New Zealand's got Australia fares on sale at the moment. It was $230 one way.
You know what annoys the heck out of me?
What?
As you know, there's a lot of things that annoy the heck out of me, but this one thing is, Hamilton Airport is going to start direct flights to the Gold Coast starting in June of next year, just as the Gold Coast Congress is finishing. Wouldn't that rot your socks?
You go and pack your undies and socks away for your trip.
At least I don't have to worry about the Labour Weekend Congress.
Hey, what's happening with your AI? Because it's around about the same time.
Yeah, well, I had to forfeit that this year. So I had to talk to my farmers and tell them that I wasn't available. They will have started. All those cows will be missing me.
Like I said, all the best for that. We will be watching.
And I'll be talking to you from Argentina. I'm sure there's going to be a bit of news for me to relay. We've got a couple of sort of free days before the actual bridge starts. Probably catch up with you maybe after the opening ceremony's taken place. I don't know
Yeah.
how spectacular that is going to be.
Well, I hope when you play is as nice as it was in Morocco because everybody really loved that place.
Let's hope we don't have anything bad happen in Buenos
Yeah.
Aires like we did in Morocco when we left.
All right. Well, catch you later.
Okay, bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.